The biggest plays and clutch moments.
Oh, look out! Touchdown! A miracle!
It's time to go around the NFL.
Get into the eye here. Henry's sweet spot right up the gut.
They had to hold on for dear life at the end, but the Ravens were dominant, really, for three-plus quarters on the way to a 28-25 win over the Cowboys as we go around the NFL. Lamar Jackson, 12 of 15 for 182 yards, rush for 87, and Derrick Henry had a 151 on the ground. Two touchdowns as well. Also had a catch for 23 yards. This was that game in which, you know, Dallas had a chance because Derrick Henry wanted to play for the Cowboys to sign Henry to a one-year, $8, $9 million deal, figure out a way to do it. If they had gotten Dak's deal done earlier, if they had gotten CeeDee Lamb's deal done earlier, they could have cleared the cap space for a Derrick Henry. Instead, they had to match up against him, and it was a mismatch. Dallas is small, weak, and soft on defense up front. There's no doubt about it. We saw it at times last year, specifically in the playoff game. We saw it last week. If they can put you in position where they just can pass rush, and they're fine. But 274 yards on the ground. That following New Orleans going for 190 yards on the ground last week. Let's not forget that in the playoff game last year against the Packers, you had Aaron Jones go for 5.5 yards per carry, 21 carries, 118 yards. The Cowboys defensively are a mess right now. Mike Zimmer, Dan Quinn at the end of the year, they're too small defensively. Meantime, Baltimore needed it. They got it. They go to 1-2. And in the process, I think they reminded us all, me anyway, just how tough they are. Derrick Henry, by the way, in the game now has 12 games with at least 150 yards and two rushing touchdowns. That's tied with just two other players. I'm sorry, tied with one other player and short of one other. LaDainian Tomlinson had 12 games of 150 and two touchdowns. Only Jim Brown with 13 has more. In that game, by the way, I don't know if you caught it, Dallas kicker Brandon Aubrey, 65-yard field goal in the first half. Like, we're trying 65-yard field goals in a 7-0 game in the first half. That's what this league has come to. That would have never been thought of unless it was the end of the half or the end of a game. It was in the first quarter they converted a 65-yarder. That puts him number two behind Justin Tucker at 66 yards. He passed Matt Prater, who had a 64-yarder and held the record for the second longest field goal in history. Dallas has some issues defensively. They definitely do. I also think they've got issues running the football. Big-time issues. The Cowboys fall to 1-2. They play the Thursday night game in the Meadowlands against the Giants before going to Pittsburgh to face a rather good defensive team. Then they've got a tough stretch of Lions, 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, Texans. So the Cowboys better do some damage here, you know, on Thursday night and not blow that game, because if they don't beat the Giants Thursday night, that's a terrible start with a real rough stretch ahead of them. It's early. It is early, but they are small and not great up front against the run defensively. Let's go to, by far and away, the most intense game, even if it wasn't well played, the intensity of Philly at New Orleans in the early window.
It is second down and 5. Do they keep it on the ground with Saquon Barkley? They do. He breaks free. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30. He's going to go! Touchdown, Saquon Barkley!
God, I love Merrill Reese on a call. He's just the best. So the Eagles in a game in which, man, I can't imagine they're not still killing Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia for some of his decisions. But they get Saquon Barkley, who Denton, he looks elite right now as a back. I mean, their one dropped pass on an easy pitch and catch at the end of the Monday night game from being 3-0. 17 for 147, including the 65-yarder that gave them the lead. They win the game 15-12. Derek Carr, after in that New Orleans offense, which was just devastating in the first 2 weeks, that was the biggest shocker yesterday, is how good Philadelphia's defense was after they couldn't pressure Kirk and couldn't get off the field against him with the game on the line. The play of the game was the throw to Goddard, you know, where it's second and 12, I think, at that point. He takes it 61 yards and gets him down in range, but I said this even after Monday night, and I still believe it. Sirianni could get in the way of this because he's such a tool, and he's so just completely out of his mind on some decisions that even after the fact sometimes are dead wrong, and he still doubles down on it. Let me give you the one that, to me, was just so silly. At the end of the first half, the Eagles had one timeout left, and they had a 4th-and-1 at the New Orleans 15-yard line with 14 seconds left in the game. It's 3-0 in the game. They have already been in range in the red zone two different times, an interception into the end zone by Jalen, and no, it was one other time, and they had a fumble at midfield. Here they are on a long drive. Let me tell you why the analytics, if the analytics said to go for it, they're wrong. Because after you run that 4th-and-1 play at the 15, if you get it, there are now about 9 seconds left in the game and you use your last timeout. You know what that's good for? One shot from, say, the 13-yard line into the end zone. What's the probability of scoring a touchdown on that one play? Is it worth it for the one shot into the end zone to take three potentially off the board? The answer is hell no. 4th-and-1 analytically is a go for it green light 99 times out of 100. Probably not that. But in that situation, because of the clock and the timeout situation, but really the clock, like you're going to get one play before you then have to bring on your field goal team anyway. They got stopped. They didn't get any points. Did you see the reaction from the Philly fans in the Superdome? I mean, they wanted to go down and fire him if they had the power to do it right then and there on the spot. Really good football game. The Saints could do nothing. They literally needed a blocked punt. They needed, you know, they had a big play to Olave. God, he's good. We had a chance to draft him. But Barkley looks so good. What did you think of that game?
Well, how about the issues on the sideline with Jalen Carter? Did you see that?
I did, but can I just say something?
They
couldn't
beast.
Control him after the last stop, right? But
yeah.
He was dominant.
He was dominant.
Game.
I mean, he's such a great player, but he's kind of a head case. You know, sometimes I think that the Philadelphia coaching staff likes this because it gets this dude Dom on television. Has there been a game where he has not been shown on television this year?
I don't know. Until Dom got thrown out of that game last year, whatever game that was, I'll be honest with you. I kind of had heard of him, but he was that was more of a Philly phenomenon.
And they're like trying to make him a superstar.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird. But Jalen Carter is so good.
Oh, my God.
So good. Like, they're a scary team if they can get the offense moving correctly. Because, like, I don't know if you've seen the overall stats, but Jalen Hurts is turning the ball over a lot this year.
Yeah, he had a pick and a fumble in the game yesterday. You know, remember, they did not have A.J. Brown Monday night. They did not have A.J. Brown yesterday. The other player on defense, and I noticed him in that opener against Green Bay, number 53, Zach Bond, is really good. He's excellent. Jalen Carter is a dominant player. I think Philly's better. I think it's obvious that they're a better team. But, God, the Sirianni stuff has to stop. He honestly comes off in his communication skills, in some of his decision-making, as kind of a moron. I watched his post-game locker room speech. It seemed like there are a lot of rolling eyes in there. So that's the issue with Philly. You know, that's a Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie. Do we have a leader here? Or do we have a bit of a wingnut who is not the brightest bulb on the bush by a long shot? Because they have players. And when they're healthy, when they get A.J. Brown back, they can do some damage in the NFC this year. I think they can, with Barkley in particular. Because he's been spectacular in three games. Okay? He's got 351 yards rushing, four touchdowns, averaging 5.6 yards per carry in three games. He's got another 10 catches for a touchdown. He has been... Did you see him run away on that touchdown run, the speed? Wow.
He still got it.
Normally
at this time, that speed starts to go a little bit. He still got it.
If he can stay healthy, that's been the big issue with him. Look out. But again, the Sirianni factor, I don't know what's going on there. Like, do they think he's a dum-dum? I think the players might think well, he's a dum-dum.
Jalen Hurts definitely thinks he's a dum-dum. We know that for certain because of that article that came out this summer, and I don't think that's changed.
Yeah. Now, is he leaving Kellen Moore alone? The idea, like, I'd love to see the analytics 4th-and-1 with one timeout at the opponent's 15-yard line when you know that play is going to end with about 9 seconds to go, 8 seconds to go, which means you're going to have one shot to the end zone. You have to kick the field goal there. You have to. You got to kick the field goal there. The 4th-and-3 at the New Orleans 35-yard line on their opening drive of the second half, to me, that's more debatable. I mean, 4th-and-3 analytically at the other team's 34, 3-0 game. You know, I'm guaranteeing that there's an advantage analytically based on the history of 4th-and-3 in that spot of the field, that it's probably a lean to go for it. I wouldn't have mind if they had kicked the field goal because it's like, God, if we get stopped again, we're going to still be stuck on zero. There's like a psychological effect to that. But the one at the end of the first half made no sense. No sense. And then he tried a 60-yard field goal. Like when they did, when he's allergic to field goals, he doesn't realize they're worth 3 points because he's a dummy. And then they're at the New Orleans 42 in a 7-6 game that they're leading. And he puts Elliott, I know that 60-yard field goals are like the old 50s, okay? But the old 50s were not, you know, slam dunks. And a 60-yard field goal with the way their defense had been playing to give New Orleans the ball at midfield? I'm not suggesting go for it on 4th-and-11. I'm suggesting punting it on 4th-and-11. I know Elliott's a great kicker, and there's some debate there to be had. It's not a total slam dunk. If you make it, you're up 10-6. But if you miss it, they're one first down away from field goal range themselves. So they scored a touchdown on that drive. That was the play in which he hit Olave on the big play on second and 10, that deep in. God, Olave gets open, doesn't he? Whew. All right, let's go to Cleveland for the other NFC East game yesterday.
Jones in a shotgun set. Singletary to his right. Jones back to throw. Looks, fires one left corner of the end zone. Neighbors makes a diving catch, but did he get his feet in? No signal yet. Yes, touchdown. In the back left corner of the end zone.
Malik Nabers, through 3 weeks of his rookie campaign, has 23 receptions for 271 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's the first player in NFL history with at least 20 receptions and three touchdowns in his first three career games. We said it last week. He was the best player on the field last week. In week two of his career, he's such a brilliant route runner. And, you know, you don't notice that as much at the college level when it just seems like everybody's wide open. But he is making Daniel Jones look a lot better than most of you thought Daniel Jones could look. Jones against a first-rate defense, not what they had last week. 24-34, 236 yards, two touchdowns, and no turnovers in the game. Neighbors ended up with 8 for 78, two touchdowns on 12 targets, so he didn't get the 18 targets he got last week. And Cleveland ended up with two fumbles. Deshaun Watson fumbled twice in the game, and the Browns lose 21-15. The Giants were really in control of this game until late because it was 21-7. Cleveland couldn't do anything. Then Cleveland scored and went for the two. You know, that analytics down 14, you score, you go for two there. But they fumbled. They got stopped on downs. They had three other opportunities with the ball, and they couldn't get it done. And the Giants end up getting out of there with a 21-15 win. The Giants easily, right with a kicker last week, could be 2-1 on the season. Another good day for Devin Singletary, who continues to be a really good, versatile back for them. He had 16 carries, 65 yards. That's over 4 yards a carry. And he had four catches for 43 yards in the game as well. The Giants host the Cowboys on Thursday night. What's that number, Denton? I haven't looked at it. I'm going to guess Dallas -4.
Let's pull it up here. By the way, Malik Nabers is so good, he's going to keep Daniel Jones as quarterback in the Giants. He's going to save that man's job.
I know I've been one of those that has never really smashed Daniel Jones because I think that, you know, what he did in 2022 is what he's capable of. He's never had a receiver, not once in his career. And by the way, always had the worst offensive line.
What did you guess that line was?
I guess Dallas -4.
4.5. So you're basically right there. Yeah.
Okay. Tricky, tricky game. These Thursday night games always are. And the Giants are physical defensively. They are. They're pretty good defensively. All right, what do we have next? We've got, how about last night's game? Controversial at the end, KC in Atlanta.
Those kind of zone routes as well.
Mahomes retreats across. It's Juju Smith-Schuster. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Really good football game, tough football game last night, physical game. Atlanta lost two offensive linemen during the game, including their center, which was huge in the game. What they did on Monday night against Philly, they couldn't do last night. They couldn't run the football last night, and that made them one-dimensional. And Chris Jones really got after Kirk. Mahomes, two touchdowns, 217 yards, also threw another interception to Justin Simmons, who has six career interceptions against Patrick Mahomes, the first five as a Denver Bronco. But really, this game came down to Atlanta having two long drives at the end of the game, down 22-17. The first one ended with a pass to Kyle Pitts on 3rd and 5 at the KC-6, in which he is grabbed and bear hugged before the ball got there, and there was no flag. He was also held off the line of scrimmage, and then they went for it with 4:08 to go, 4th and 5 at the KC-6, down 22-17. That's a coin flip to me. I think let me just say this. When you got the Falcons +3, I wanted the field goal there for 22-20. And then if you get the ball back, great. If you don't, you know, the final score is 22-20. They went for it, and Drake London got held, and there was no call on back-to-backs. They turned it over on downs, but they got it back again, and they got down to the KC 13-yard line and had 3rd and 1. And Tyler Allgeier got stopped. And then on 4th and 1, I'll tell you what, he's a great player. Nick Bolton makes the play of the game. He's in the backfield stopping Bijan Robinson for a one-yard loss on fourth and one. And KC gets out of Dodge with their third straight game that basically ends at the very end of the game, 22-17. Really good football game. I think Atlanta's a good team, Denton. I think they're going to be there when we get to November and December with enough wins to potentially contend in that NFC South. But to start the season with Pittsburgh, Philly, and Kansas City, and oh, by the way, the next 2 weeks are Saints, Buccaneers. It's rough. This is where you say about a team, you don't need to be good now. You need to have enough wins so that if you become good later, those games matter. They're one of those teams. There are many teams that are like that. But you got to weather the storm of what's turned into a brutal schedule. You've had a chance to win all three games, and you're 1-2. Meantime, the Chiefs could have lost all three of their games. But you know why they don't? Because they've got Pat Mahomes, Chris Jones, Steve Spagnuolo, and Andy Reid. Championship caliber leadership. And it comes through in these games. They play the Chargers, by the way, coming up late Sunday, and the Chargers have quarterback problems. We'll finish going around the NFL with some of the other games from yesterday, including some of the stunners. Kevin Sheehan showed the Team 980, the Team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.